says his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around. Ayo's house,
in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house.
Isle's House, episode 4, Ethan, Jack, Rocco, Greeny with you once again. And this team is not fun. There's a lot going on right now. We're here to talk about it. Let's just jump right into it. How's everyone doing?
What's going on, guys? Definitely a little case of the Sunday scaries over here after this weekend of Isle's hockey.
Yeah, just Isle's hockey is the reason for you. But anyway, yeah, I'm not too excited about what's gone on and some background things going on with this team. So let's just hop into it.
All right, so I guess let's just start with the drama that everyone's talking about. So I'll try my best to sum it up here, and then we can dive into what everyone's heard and what we think is true and what we think is not true. But Matt Martin, just out of the blue, signed off his PTO to a one-year, one-way contract, vet minimum. Engvall, Fasching, both recalled from Bridgeport. All of that happening within, what, an hour? And subsequently, Patrick Waugh not made available, players not made available for any comments pre-game, which had the media in a tizzy. I do not blame them, but were not made available. And after the game, Patrick Waugh had some things to say about the lineup decisions, in which he specified that these were Lou Lamoriello decisions and not his decisions. Friction, not what you want. Less than 10 games into the season, when the team is struggling with the exact same things that they were struggling with for 82 games last year, mostly under a different coach.
Yeah. So as far as the Waugh-Lou stuff, it's really the first time I really I guess you could say the Sorokin back thing. What did he say that at the golf event? And everyone was like, ooh, he said something about a back surgery, whatever else. That was like a little bit, but this is like that actual like big right hook over the top where it's like, holy shit, someone kind of came at Lou. I don't think we've seen that really at all since Lou's been here. And I think it's something with Waugh that he has a resume, albeit not a coaching one, but a resume in hockey in general, that he has enough pull and confidence, honestly, that he says what he thinks, he says what he wants, and he said what he felt there, and I don't disagree with him. Like, I don't love the Martin signing. I don't love calling up these other guys and dropping Foodie down. I would rather Foodie play than these guys. Would it be, you know, it's one of those things where it's just surprising. Like, we thought Matt Martin was going to ride on that PTO a bit longer. That was one of those things. When that tweet was sent, it was like the rare Isles tweet where I had to like pause for a second and like take it all in. I think that was the first time I had to do that with something Isles related since the Horvat trade, honestly, because it was so many moving parts. And although they're all minor players in the grand scheme of things, it just threw me for a loop. And it almost felt like it threw Waugh for a loop as well, because it's like, okay, I guess I'm not involved.
It probably did, because all indications that, you know, I believe some of the other beat writers had tweeted this out. These are things that I was told as well, was that Matt Martin was absolutely staying on PTO. He was here to practice. Barring injuries that truly forced him into the lineup, he was going to be on PTO until the trade deadline, when legally he couldn't anymore, and either he would sign a contract or he would just be done. And for him to just be taken off again under 10 games into the season, I think everyone was surprised. Now, I'm happy to give my two cents on the issue before I discuss some of the things that I've been hearing. But what it boils down to for me is this. You fired Lane Lambert last year because the team was blowing leads. And while I think almost everyone would agree the team wasn't talented enough to make a true Stanley Cup run, they weren't as bad as they were playing. There was probably a little more juice that could have been squeezed out of the lineup as it existed. That's why Lambert was let go. That's why Waugh was brought in. So Patrick Waugh had a good stretch with this almost exact roster. And he was brought in, and again, I've discussed this ad nauseum in our Twitter spaces. I've said it on podcasts. Patrick Waugh's opening press conference was, Lou handles personnel decisions. I'm here to coach. And I don't think anyone with greater than 50 total brain cells believed that to be the case.
His lip service.
It was absolutely lip service. Patrick Waugh was not leaving his cushy gig in the QMJHL, coaching kids with no pressure and only, third tier Canadian media paying attention to him, to come back to the NHL, where he already had one tenure and poorly, and not have a say in roster construction or free agent signings, things of that nature. All right. And again, listen, the Duclair signing made all the sense in the world just in a vacuum. But again, the fact that he had connections to Patrick Waugh, okay, great. Like, it's very obvious that this guy has say on the roster. Another thing, Pierre Engvall, who Lou signed to a 7-year extension, not making the roster and getting waived and sent down. Obviously, something that Lou disagreed with, but Waugh had say in and executed on. Matt Martin, probably another one of those things where they had to compromise and say, all right, I'm just going to keep, we're going to keep him on the PTO, but the guy's washed. He's not playing anymore. There are signs that Patrick Waugh had his paws all over this roster and had plenty of say in how it was constructed. And to be honest, I think ownership was probably happy with that. That's just a guess. Nothing that I was told. Again, this is just common sense based on what we've seen go on. I think it's incredibly poor practice to, I don't even want to say take go back on your word, which is probably what Lou did in making some of these decisions over the last few days, and why there was this alleged tiff. We'll call it that until we speak about that specifically. But I think it's incredibly poor practice. I think the head coach deserves to set the lineup how he feels fit. And whether or not you agree or disagree with it, I think there are plenty of things that we could go through. Oh, I don't like this player here. I think this player should be up. I think this player should be down, right? For me, for instance, one of the things that I couldn't believe was that Wahlstrom, one, not even made the roster, but was stapled to the fourth line to start. And that what I was told is that he's a guy that Patrick Waugh really liked and thought that he might thrive in a bottom six role where he didn't have pressure and he could sort of utilize his strengths. That's something that I disagreed with. But you know what? I'm not the coach, so who the fuck am I to judge? Let the guy try it out. And if it doesn't work, trust in him to move on. So I don't like the GM meddling in, I'll say, the minutiae of how you're going to construct a roster, but it is beyond clear based on Waugh's unavailability before the game and his comments post game that he was not on board with these moves. And I do not like this one bit for a team that is exhibiting the exact same frustrations and weaknesses that it did all of last year to be doing it again and now throwing this into the mix. I think it's going to be a long season. And the last thing I'll say, because I've been monopolizing the time here and I do want to give Jackie a chance to speak up, is my problem right now. I have a lot of problems right now. But one problem that I want to touch on specifically is that this team is not bad. They're not good, but they're not bad.
The worst place to
And
be, arguably.
with exactly. And with this fan base, you're either as delusional as Phil and think that they're going to go all the way and win the Stanley Cup, or you're a doomsdayer who thinks that this team is tanking for Jimmy Hagens. And I don't think either of those things are true. I don't think the team, even with a healthy Duclair, is significantly better than they were last year. And I don't think that they're going to be in contention for Jimmy Hagens. Like, they have a back-to-back coming up against the Ducks and the Blue Jackets. It's very possible that they win both of those games and the organization tries to sweep everything that happened this weekend under the rug and just
Right.
hopes that we forget about it and go on being an incredibly average hockey team. But if they split or they lose both, man, it is going to get ugly. And
Yes.
I don't believe that the UBS attendance the last two games is necessarily a symptom of the Yankees being in the World Series. I think it's a symptom of the product that they're putting on the ice. And I was appalled at the attendance for a Saturday night game against the Stanley Cup champions. So I'll leave it at that. Jack, why don't you go give it a go? And then we could talk about what I've heard.
Yeah, there's just so much to unpack here. The craziest part, it's October 27th, and we have so much to talk about. Definitely didn't expect this. But let's rewind for 1 second. So the Islanders win a game Friday night in New Jersey. They give up the game tying goal with the goalie pulled for the Devils. They win it in overtime. Then the next afternoon, we get a tweet saying Duclair is going on LTIR. That's not shocking. And then we see Foodie has been sent down to Bridgeport. Some folks thought Foodie was playing well. To me, he was fine. I didn't really have much of an opinion on that. Then we see Martin is signed to a 1 year contract. It's like, whoa. And then you see Engvall and Bashing are recalled, and you're like, what is going on here? Then at 5 p.m. before the game, usually Waz made available to the media, actually, not usually every game. And we get comments from Lou, and we find out that Waz isn't made available. When I first heard the news, I didn't really care at all. I thought, okay, we're just locking in on tonight's game. We don't want any distractions. Like, I think the boys are going to come out fired up.
That's
And they
the
did.
naive, that's the Gen Z naivete over there. They announced the Matt Martin contract and the Engvall recall, and you're thinking, oh, they're just locked in. I love it. I love it. It's perfect.
And
It's
Jack
just
also had a
perfectly
bone to
innocent.
pick. Jack had a bone to pick with Foodie because of the number. He
Yes,
left that part
sure.
out.
Yeah.
I thought he
We
was
will
okay.
save
No,
it.
you hated him.
Save it. We'll
We
save that.
will save that for another time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lou might be losing fans over here with that move too. So yeah, the game starts. We're up 3-0, and then we lose. And just like how I thought we were just going to be fired up going into the game, I thought we were going to win the game when we were up 3-0. And my God, I'm so tired of this team making me look so stupid night in and night out, blowing these leads when I'm getting excited when we're ahead. You can't even trust them anymore. But going with the Lou and Wah friction here, you can see in the post game, Wah opens up when they ask him, how did Engvall play? How did who's the other guy who played? How did Martin play? And he kind of sits there and he's like, yeah, you know, we thought, and then he pauses and he's like, so Lou thought, and you just saw that one moment where he made it a point to say that it was Lou's decision to bring those guys up. And I have no idea why Lou feels the need to have this much control over who's going into the lineup. It's hard to figure out now who Waz guys are and who Lou's guys are.
Going to start
Engvall's
calling him
probably.
Mussolini.
Yeah, Lou's probably wanting Engvall in the lineup. I bet Wah wants Wahlstrom in the lineup, and I think Lou couldn't take it anymore, and probably was one of the reasons why Engvall's back. But the re-signing of Matt Martin, it sucks to say it because he's such a great Islander. He's a great person. I've been to some charity events, but your job as a general manager is to be creative. You put Anthony Duclair on LTIR. You have some extra cap space to work with. It gives you an opportunity to be creative. And you do the same thing of re-signing a player that just can't at this point. And it's a great thing. Every time he hits the ice, the fans will root for him. We love Matt Martin, but it's just not the point. Your job is to be creative, and he's not being creative. And I think we're seeing it from Wah. He's sick of it. And wow, like it is October 27th, and we're talking about their relationship. Wah was hired January 20th of last year. Scary days ahead. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
One thing I want to,
go
one
ahead,
thing I just want to
Rocco.
say in regards to Martin too, I think the frustrating thing, I'll just speak for myself. The frustrating thing for me is the blind loyalty to some of these guys. You know, you bring Martin back, a number of other guys back for however many years, and you see organizations like Tampa let Stamkos walk because they see fit. Marchessault walk from Vegas. And it just feels like we're constantly behind. We're constantly holding on to guys too long. And it's getting more and more frustrating. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what Wah sees. The blind loyalty has to stop. But Ethan, what are you hearing?
Well, so I don't know, man. There is a lot to what I think Patrick Waugh is feeling in terms of the frustration. If you just look at it from the outside looking in, it's weird because I mean, I'll say I know for a fact that Lou tried really hard to improve this roster in the offseason. And I'm not just talking about the Duclair signing. Like, I know that he was trying to make trades. And again, it takes two to tango. And there are a lot of contracts that he's responsible for that he gave out that devalue players when you're trying to move them. And especially we've seen with a lot of guys on this roster, they have not aged well. there are plenty of guys who regression has hit hard, or the injuries have just taken their toll, and they become less valuable in these trade talks. So for Patrick Waugh, I'm sure there is some frustration there where he was maybe not assured, but was hopeful that there was going to be another big move, maybe like an Ehlers or someone like that. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So, like, I understand why he'd be frustrated at the roster, especially because you couldn't upgrade the back end. And to me, that's like my biggest gripe with the team. And I've said it numerous times. People know when they've spoken to me, I hate this defensive group. I wouldn't give Noah Dobson a penny. I'd trade his ass and see what someone's willing to give you for him. Mayfield is what he is. He's a third pairing defenseman. He's not fast. He doesn't give you anything offensively. Pelican Pulock are washed. They've got, I don't want to say hefty cap hits, but cap hits that are incredibly difficult to move, and they've got no trade clauses. So, it becomes modified next year. But again, there was zero way to improve the back end. You'd already given the contracts to the goaltenders, so you have to improve the forward group. But even up there, you've got a bunch of contracts that you can't move. So I understand Waugh's frustration because there was not a ton of flexibility this past offseason with what you could have done with the roster. I think given the little flexibility they had, they did well. I love the Duclair contract. I think the Tsipilkov signing is the type of move that a team in this position has to make. It's low risk, high reward. But again, when you're sort of this limited in what you can do, I think the head coach needs to have a 100% say in the lineup that he is icing.
Yeah, with Lou, there's just so much going on right now. My favorite part about having him as the Isles general manager is not only like some of the roster decisions, which have been questionable. I think he makes very calculated decisions in that regard. But the greatest thing he actually brings to the team is establishing a really good culture, a great place to work. And now that we know that there's problems within this locker room with Waugh, with Lou, it just makes me feel a little bit uneasy about it. Like, what are you actually bringing? And it feels like Engvall is recalled because of Lou. And it's almost like Lou is just putting all of his chips in. He needs Pierre Engvall to be good. He signed this guy to a 7-year contract. Him playing in the minors is probably driving him crazy. And man, I can't imagine if my job was on the line for Pierre Engvall, I would not feel good about that at all.
Yeah, it's all a bit puzzling because you don't know exactly who is pulling what string behind the scenes, but it's now it feels like this big time tug of war because it's like Wah wants this guy, Lou wants this guy. We know they had a little bit of an argument behind the scenes. Yes, it's the workplace, so maybe they could have a little, heart to heart after and squash the whole thing. But again, Lou hasn't even, I mean, Wah rather hasn't even been here a full 82 games, right? What game did he come in last year? Like around 30, 40 mark? Or was it later than that?
I think it was around 40.
Whatever it is, it's much too early in this working relationship for these sort of things to happen, in my opinion. These are
Agreed.
the things that I would think happen year two, year three, like the amount of time Trotz was here, not the amount of time Wah's here. Hasn't even been a
Yeah.
year.
And there's such a loud part of our fan base that is even louder right now about how much they want to move off of Lou Lamoriello and like how frustrating it is that this guy probably has a lifetime contract. And I just want to address that quickly. So this is going to be Lou's third coach. He had Barry Trotz, he had Lane Lambert, now he has Patrick Waugh. And the real problem for Lou is the team attendance right now at UBS has taken a little bit of a hit. And what that means is the fans aren't buying it. And when the fans aren't buying it and the seats aren't being filled, that affects ownership. Ownership makes the decision
And
on
the
his
worst part,
contract.
Jack, the worst part, by the way, is the parking garage. Like the fact that they make you scan when you exit the parking garage is just, it's asinine. It's asinine. It's enough to make me not want to go to the game. It's just
I've never
unbelievable.
experienced that. I only take the train now, to be
It's just
honest.
crazy. It's just crazy.
So what exactly,
I
can
just
you
I'm I
explain
might get rid
exactly
of
what
my
goes,
season tickets.
it's
I might just
ridiculous. Explain what goes on in the
the
garage because I've
audacity.
never parked in the garage. So they make you scan when you enter and scan when you leave.
Dude, allegedly, I don't know. I left after the in with 10 minutes left in the third yesterday. They didn't make me scan to get out. I just drove out.
How is the parking garage just on a normal game night before yesterday
Oh,
when
it's
everyone's
I
done?
mean
It's nice.
on when they opened for the inaugural season, and I would go with my dad. It was a fucking nightmare. Like
Oh,
they didn't
really?
know how to do it, but now, dude, and again, this might be just a symptom of the fact that we had hardly anyone at the game yesterday. Sarah and I got there 20 minutes before puck drop, and we got parking on the first level. Like, it just never happened to me before. Just insane. So, whatever. And one thing that I will say, because Jack, you were just talking about this, and I think I cut you off to make fun of the parking garage situation, is as it pertains to the Lou versus Wah rift, there are no winners. This is as stalemate as it gets for numerous reasons. One, Lou Lamoriello is not going to get fired or let go in season.
I don't know about
One,
that.
No,
I
he's not. It,
100% he is not
David
going to.
Gettleman. If they let him leave
It's
at all, he'll
yes.
retire. They're not fired. I cannot picture this ownership
Correct. And
just
on
saying
top of
you're
that, but
fired.
it goes deeper than that. And you know this, Rocco, because his son is the assistant GM and he's the GM of Bridgeport, which is an atrocity.
So it would be a clean house.
So, and you're doing that mid-season.
No,
If you
not
get rid of Lou,
happening.
you're going to have to get rid of Chris. And you're going to do that for both your NHL franchise and your AHL franchise in the middle of the season. It's not happening. So they're not going to just let Lou go middle of the season. Maybe they make him a lame duck if they get frustrated enough. And they're just like, listen, pal, you're done at the end of the season, but for PR sake, we're just going to have you chill. For Wah, Wah's last NHL tenure didn't exactly end on a good note. He came here and he was promised whatever he was promised, either, some say of personnel, the ability to make his own roster, whatever it is. And what he's going to what? Threaten to walk away? If you were to just walk out now, he's done. He's never getting another NHL gig again. So again, neither of these guys has any sort of leverage, and I think that's why it could get ugly. And I'm happy to touch on what I've personally heard from a few different people about yesterday. I don't know exactly what happened or exactly what was said, but I know that there was a disagreement, and I know that it wasn't pretty. What was said or what the result of it was, I don't know. But again, very obvious why Wah was not allowed to speak pregame, why none of the players were allowed to speak pregame. I know, and I can say for a fact that something happened. What happened, I don't know exactly. So it is not all sunshine and butterflies and roses inside UBS right now, but I know that the head coach and the GM were not on the same page. Now, touching back to what I said earlier, again, they have a back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday against the Ducks in Columbus. They win both of those, maybe everything to quote Zohan, everything's yuffy tuffy, and they just try to sweep everything under the rug and that's that, and they try to move forward. But if they split or they don't, or they lose the first one to Anaheim, I don't know. I don't want to, like, again, I don't know what's going to happen or what could happen. I just know that they had a disagreement over the roster moves. And that shouldn't shock anyone based on what happened. The no comments pregame and Waz comments after the game, they had a disagreement. I know it, and the context is there for it. So that I mean, that's it. That's all I could say about it.
No matter what, though, it's such a bad look for Lou to ownership because how do you sell to ownership that this isn't all your fault? I mean, this is your third coach. You decided to hire the guy. The attendance is low. I just don't see how ownership, they got to be smart people. I just don't see how they look past it with him anymore. I think that if this continues, that this will be it.
And I think too, in regards to Lou and his weird quirks and his rules, it's one of those things. If you're winning, I don't think anyone gives a shit. We're winning. Who cares? Whatever. Now, when things start to go south and you have to abide by all these things and whatnot, that's when things are going to start to get a little old. So
I mean, he's a control freak.
he's a control freak. And it were and listen, he's a Hall of Fame GM and he won cups with the Devils. It was I know it was a long time ago, but he has a great resume. But you
He's a
know,
legend.
he's a legend, but and as Jack said earlier, he built a culture here, which I can't speak for everyone, but I personally appreciate. But at the same time, it's getting a little ugly, man. I don't like that he's pulling this. I want this guy in. I want to sign this guy. I think Wash should have a little more say. It's tough.
It's what he is, Benito Mussolini.
Wait, one second, okay? I know you guys are mid-conversation here. I'm sorry, okay? This guy, and I'm talking about Lou Lamoriello, this guy needs to fuck off, okay? I'm sorry. I have argued this with every single person that I've interacted with that gives a shit about hockey. Lou Lamoriello is the biggest fraud that exists in the National Hockey League Hall of Fame. I've had it. I have absolutely had it with this guy and people that are defending him because he has not done a single thing in the NHL when they have had a salary cap. And this guy is running the Islanders like he knows every single answer. Okay. And I can't stand it. Again, you guys are mid-conversation. I'm sorry for jumping in, but when I look at Lou Lamoriello, I look at if anyone is that's listening is a baseball fan, I look at Lou Lamoriello like the Houston Astros, arrogant and thinks that he knows every single answer when he doesn't know a thing.
Yeah, but the Astros won recently.
Yeah, and like the Astros, Greeny, there's nothing you can do about it.
This is a cranky fan right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm cranky. Yankee, but it's I'm cranky. Whatever. Okay, Lou Lamoriello is a joke.
I mean, you're not wrong.
And whoever the hell replaces him, I think it's going to be his son. You guys seem to
know. Delusional. No, you're wrong.
But we can go on that a different
no,
tangent.
Dude, Bridgeport is a mess.
Whoever the hell takes over for him, I am praying to God that they are from the modern generation and they'll actually rebuild the organization from the ground up the way that it's needed.
You know what I'm
going to
do?
I'm
putting NHL. I'm putting Isles PR and I'm putting Bridgeport PR on notice. I'm going to do some digging into Bridgeport. I'm going to start asking around Bridgeport. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to figure out what the fuck is going on up there because it's not good. That team's cheeks.
I haven't paid attention at all. What are they doing so far?
You'd think they'd be, you know, with
I mean, they haven't been good in a while.
When was the last time we developed a player? When was the last time we developed it? We developed an NHL player. Please
qualify that in Bridgeport.
In Bridgeport, yes, in Bridgeport.
The only reason Matt Barzal is because he spent
it's because
most
he
of
didn't
his time
go to Bridgeport
in the W.
Exactly.
He never went to Bridgeport. Yeah.
Wait, no, he was in Bridgeport for like a couple
games,
wasn't. Right?
No, he wasn't.
He never played a game for Bridgeport.
No.
Remember, he played the two games in the NHL. He had that penalty where he touched the puck in the penalty box.
And they sent him right back to the dub. Right back.
But Greeny, that's because he wasn't eligible for the A. Remember, because
exactly.
He was 19.
Thank God.
And
Thank
then
God.
The next year, he came back and just stood out in preseason and then never looked back.
I mean, Chalowski's a point per game player. He came from Bridgeport.
All right, enough.
Joking.
Enough.
Yeah, Greeny,
I mean,
very emotional. Very emotional there. There's.
I mean, I'm happy to talk more specifically about the team, but again, like this is what really frustrates me because this goes back to what I said probably 10 minutes ago, maybe 15 minutes ago at this point about this. The New York Islanders are the 2024 presidential election. You're either in one camp or you're in the other camp, and there's no changing your mind. I don't give up. There's no such thing as fucking undecided in 2024. You either think that this team blows or you think that this team is good enough to make a run. Like I genuinely that's all. Maybe this is just like my little echo chamber, but that's all I see on social media is people arguing whether or not this team is good enough or whether this team is not good enough. I personally don't like
no.
But again, I don't think that they're bad enough to tank for Jimmy Hagans, but I don't like I don't want to watch 82 games of fucking bullshit to just get just demolished in the first round. I don't. I have no interest in that. So this is what pains me. Like, this is why I can't just listen to Mike argue about Pierre Engvall for 12 hours a day and say that Pierre Engvall is actually good and that if Pierre Engvall was in the top six, then all of a sudden this team is good. No, it's not. Pierre Engvall's not making a difference. Fuda's not making a difference. The only guy who may make a difference is Duclair when he comes back healthy. But like the team is what it is. And there are plenty of guys who have been overperforming to this point. So the first line has not been carrying their weight to the extent that I think a lot of people thought. And the second line has done an okay job of masking that. But folks, it's getting late early. It's Brocktober 27th, All right. Brock Nelson has four more days to accumulate 40% of his season point total. All right. And after that, it's lights out. All right. Your best player on the roster right now is a 34-year-old who doesn't have his contract is up after this year. Like, I don't know what that says about the roster, but to me, it says this roster is not good enough. So I can't do this for 82 games. I won't sit there on Twitter and argue the underlying stats or the minutia or Pierre Engvall this or Fuda on the fourth line versus Oliver Wahlstrom. You guys can have fun arguing that all you want. Fact of the matter is this team is good. Dare I say good, not nearly good enough. And it's going to result in them either barely making the playoffs or missing the playoffs. And to me, it's incredibly difficult to care about the difference.
So yeah. let's do this quick, because when I have sports talk, this is how I like to go about it. Because we all, you know, everyone on Twitter or wherever else, we like to complain, this guy, that guy. Little crystal ball, what would you do to fix it? Because if it's me, unless you're like pretty nicely set in the playoffs, I think you have to sell off a little bit. I don't think you can justify
again, which is why who wins the WA versus Lou power struggle is so important, because right. You can't.
And I think a lot of people are rooting for WA because of that.
I'm rooting for WA,
and I'm not greeny. I'm not like Lou this, Lou that. I don't love Lou. I know he's flawed, but I'm not a complete hater either. I just think we've stuck with so many of these guys for so long, and we can't, you know, listen. Brock, you said is 34. I think Palms
no,
is
No, Brock's
like,
32. He would be 33 at the start of next
Palms
season.
Is 33,
Palms is 34. No, he's 34 right now, I believe.
Okay. So these are not guys you extend when you're in the position the Owls are in.
No, I mean,
it doesn't
again,
make sense.
But it's
and it
like
sucks.
You're really. There's going to be people who don't like my answer.
I think answer. We all agree. I think we actually
answer.
All agree.
Ethan, answer.
You want to know what I would do?
I want to know. I want to know what each of us would do. Because I know what I would do.
I really like. This is what's the show with John? What's his face? Bar Rescue.
John Taffer.
Bar I was
rescue.
Gonna say John Tapper, like Jake.
Bar
Tapper,
Rescue.
Bar Rescue.
Bar Rescue. Shut it down.
Yeah, shut it down. I'd shut it down. I'd bar rescue this motherfucker. I'd trade Palmieri at the deadline. I'd trade Nelson at the deadline. As soon as the season year is over, Pelech, give me your list. You're gone. Pulock, give me your list. You're gone. I'll find a team that's got some high octane young player that maybe they can't afford to re-sign, and I orchestrate some sort of trade with Noah Dobson. I am turning over this back end. It's fucking garbage. I don't want to hear, well, who are you going to replace him with? You're going to have so much fucking money from not re-signing Nelson, from not re-signing Palmieri, from getting rid of Pelech, Pulock. That's like $12 million right there, maybe a little more, not having to pay Dobson $8 million a year. Like, you're going to have money. You are. And you take Dobson, get a stud on the offensive side of the puck, go out there and, like, dude, I mean, seriously, you can go find.
You're
go
only
find
doing
me
this.
Four Mike Rileys. Go find me four Mike Rileys, and it's going to be better than what Pelech and Pulock are giving you.
You're only doing this if you fire Lou, because Lou is not doing
correct.
This.
Well, correct. Well, in this scenario, you're asking what I would do. And I'm the captain now.
But
now,
would not, any of us, would any
Benito
of us
Mussolini.
Not, would any of us not fire Lou, I think is the question.
No,
if any of us were firing the team. I don't know. Maybe you guys said it before, but.
No, I'd fire him.
We would, but we don't think they would.
They're
not firing him in season.
They're
not
firing. I agree.
But they could go into lame duck mode, we were saying, where maybe they just strip him of the rights, and that's when they go into a sell-off. Because we know he's not selling off, and that's a big problem.
But how would that look publicly? If
it wouldn't matter if he's going to walk.
But the only thing, so like I agree in principle with what everyone is saying, but how would the Islanders do that publicly? Because you know that they care about how their image
is
perceived.
Say nothing.
Exactly. So do you think this is a possibility? Or are we just praying? We're just praying.
But right now, no. But as you said before, if the seats are empty and the team's not playing well and maybe they're not looking too good for the playoffs, I think probably yes.
I don't know.
Because don't know. Now that there's this
I mean, listen, if we're going to go back to the obstructed views days. I mean, I'll I'll start a GoFundMe for a bit of due to Lou billboard. I mean, we.
I wouldn't
you
go
guys
that
do
far.
That?
I wouldn't go that far with it.
I'm just literally wondering if this is realistic. I think we're all here on the same page about what we want.
I don't know if it's.
Possible.
I think it's far too early. We could be singing a different tune. I mean, not we, but I think again, we're gonna record again later this week. We're gonna record after the back to back. I will say this though. If they split, I don't even want to say if they split. If they lose both, I think we have to do it spaces.
Let's do it anyway.
Like, I know Jack's going to be way too hot to not do a spaces.
100%.
If they, bro, they drop back to back to the Ducks and the Blue Jackets, we're doing a
spaces.
They're
going to probably split.
I do want to say one point. Shout out to Dan for tweeting this. The Islanders Anxiety podcast he runs.
Culture
great show.
Losing.
Yes, sir. So he tweeted after the Panthers
Proud
game.
Alum.
He doesn't even know where it is, but just the last few years with some of these blown leads and just the overall like mediocrity. When you were asking about like what moves would you make? What would you do? I don't even know, but I just want to figure out why has this roster just gotten so rotten? Like, who is it? Where is it? It just feels like it's something new, like every game. Like last night, Varlamov just turns into a pumpkin. Like, we haven't seen that. Just
but again,
it's new
the same
every
thing.
Game.
It's I don't think it's new though, Jack. I think what you're experiencing right now is it's the same thing happening to different players at different times, and sometimes it's prolonged. Last year, this was Ilya Sorokin instead of Semyon Varlamov. Like
exactly.
Last year, okay, but again, goaltending, like we've discussed, is a high variance position, and right now the variance is hitting Varlamov hard. I mean, he's nowhere near what he was last year when he carried this team into the playoffs. And Sorokin has bounced back, I think, better than any of us expected. He's been an absolute stud. He's been a rock.
Mm-hmm. He's been a
and
stud.
I think if he played some of those Varley games, they win.
Yeah. So listen, I mean, again, it's the same thing. They can't hold a lead. They're getting zero from the back end, and they have one goaltender who can't even stop a beach ball right now. So it's the same thing, just with slightly different players. You know, Dobson is still making some of these mistakes. Romanov is apparently getting banged up throwing a hit on baby Jack Hughes, which embarrassing. And of course, he scored a goal against the Devils, and I look forward to his next goal in 4 months because I don't think he's particularly good offensively. But again, like they are what they are. There's no dark horse coming to save them. There's no breakout season from someone that, like, they are what they are.
They also just have zero identity as a hockey team. They will win a game 5-4 in OT in New Jersey, playing in a freaking shootout. And then, you know, they'll win like a 3-2 game where they play sound defense. And then Varlamov will get slashed all around by Tkachuk and nobody fights him. Nobody does anything physical. Like, what the fuck even is this team right now?
Yeah.
Can't figure that out.
Yeah. And I mean, because I was at the game, the Tkachuk goal didn't look bad in real time. And then I saw the replays on Twitter. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
there was like three different times where you could.
It happens fast. It happens
it
really
happen
fast.
It does happen fast. And you know what? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Tkachuk's the kind of guy you hate to play against, love to have on your team. So whatever. And you want me to present the spin zone? Like, the spin zone for it is.
No, I think he's a great player. And
not for Tkachuk. I'm saying the spin zone for the play is like Varlamov, like, tried to whack him and got his stick under Tkachuk's arm. So Tkachuk is playing the same game. He's going to hold it, take the stick. I think the cross check is very unwarranted and someone should have beat the shit out of him for it. But it happened. And I agree with you, man. Like, this team doesn't really have an identity. They're not fast. They're not overly physical. You know, even the Rangers, they're probably a little bit faster. They're not incredibly physical with Rempe out of the lineup, except for, you know, the Trouba hit that happens once every 10 games. But like, their identity is goaltending and power play. Like, the Islanders don't even have that. Their special teams are atrocious. So I don't really know what else to say or where to go from here. I just think, If you're an optimist and you want this team to at least try, you got to cross your fingers and you hope that they win the back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday. If you're a pessimist and you just want to accelerate the burn it down, then you're hoping that they lose both. I don't fault you for rooting either way. I just know, you know, where I will stand depending on the results of the game.
So
yeah,
I,
I Sorry, Greeny. I completely agree with Dan's tweet. Like, that was probably my favorite tweet of the night, because I think it's so accurate. The issue with it, I think it's just, it's a group project, you know? It's hard to put your finger on who's not doing the work. And every game, like Jack said, it's a different guy. This guy makes a mistake. And it's just, it's, as Ethan always says, it's a regression from many players, whether it's age, whether it's Trotz leaving, whatever it is. It's just,
I think,
you've seen it for so long now.
It makes no sense. And Dan's talking about rot, like organizational rot. I think maybe there's like a little bit of rot, but I think
I don't think it's like a bad egg in the locker room.
No, they just have a shelf life. Teams have shelf lives. Exactly. Like very, like, unless you're the Bruins, who for the last 10 years, people have been saying, oh, this is the last year. Like, these teams have a shelf life.
But even with the Bruins, you got to keep in mind, they develop and bring up a goalie like Swayman. They have Pasternak, who's one of the best scorers in the world. That's a great point, Rocco.
If you want to talk about organizational rot, talk about Bridgeport. I'm going to do some digging. I mean, I heard, who's their coach now?
Kowalski.
Yeah, and who was the coach before that? Why am I drawing
Brent
blank?
Thompson.
Brent Thompson. Bro, Tage, I mean, Dad, forget
it. Couldn't even go get Tage.
I've heard horror stories about Thompson. Like, during the middle of the game, intermissions in the locker room, he didn't even bother to coach up the players. He'd be fucking sitting there on his phone. Like, I'm telling you, there's something wrong in Bridgeport. And the fact that it's now transgressed two different coaching staffs is insane to me. But anyway, should we do a Q&A or what?
So before we get to the Q&A, I have a question for all of you, because when I look at the Islander organization, and I've spoken to my friends about this in years past, I think there's a complacency within the organization from ownership. I think that's part of why Lou is still here, honestly. And I think that's why it's been allowed to get to the point that it's gotten to. I want to know if you think, if Lou has gotten to the point where he has almost gotten too much power and too much say within the organization, where ownership has almost been afraid to be critical of Lou and go against him, because John Ledecky and Scott Malkin are not hockey people. They're not sports people. They're businessmen. And when they hired Lou to take over the organization, they became a more professional organization when Lou was first hired. And I'm wondering if ownership has gotten complacent with him and has allowed him to take it a little bit too far, because I think that he has, and he's gone past his expiration date, but ownership is almost afraid to confront him and basically give their say and basically make themselves known. So I'm wondering if you think that he's gotten almost too much power at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go first. I think the answer is yes. I think the good mark of a successful business person or anyone in the workforce is the ability to delegate. And I think that's exactly what Ledecky and Malkin did. They were not hockey folks. They're business people. They come in, they purchase a team. They say, we're going to build this banging new arena. We're going to do concerts. We're going to do hockey. Maybe one day we'll have basketball here, whatever it is. I mean, dude, in less than a month, I'm going to see Frozen on Ice with my kid. So like they're business people. They know what they're doing. And you get this great setup. You know you're going to build a new arena. What do? You delegate to someone who's commonly known as one of the greatest hockey men of all time. And you're just like, hey, dude, you run the show. And he brings in Barry Trotz. You have success immediately, back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. You make the playoffs almost every single year. And things are looking good. But you know what? Business is business. And you eventually hit a ceiling. And I'm not going to discount, you know, Ledecky and Malkin not paying attention. I think they're paying attention. And we spoke about it earlier. I think the attendance numbers speak volumes. And we'll see what happens. But, yeah, they delegate. And I think over the years, Ledecky did that stupid fucking press conference at the golf outing this past summer, maybe last summer, where he did his, his stupid, crooked smile with his thumbs up. And he goes, in Lou we trust, folks. Like, dude, shut up. Like,
well, on that, in regards to the duo, I think we all again, as you said before, anyone who's paying attention, Ledecky's the face and the smiling guy with the thumbs up, and Malkin's the money man. So that's how they run things. And as you said, I think it's, I agree with it. Delegate. Because we all, well, three of us know, being Giants fans, John Mara, how much he meddles and whatever else. You do not want that. You want delegation. You want the right people running the team. It's just, but I agree with Greeny's point. It was good and it worked for a bit, but it's getting to the point where you feel it's past its expiration date. Jack?
And I fully agree with everything you guys said. Just way too much control over everything. Just let Wah pick his freaking lineup, man. It's really not that complicated. And just take a seat in the press box and understand that you paid Pierre Engvall $21 million and you handed out a franchise icon's jersey number to Liam Foudy. So you're going to sit there and you're going to shut up. Thanks.
All right, Chad.
I knew it was coming back at some point.
Let's do some questions.
We're going to do some questions. I don't even want to get into that, Jack. But all right, we have a bunch of questions because a lot of people are annoyed or upset or otherwise.
Or worse.
There's literally. So we are going to start. We've already talked about Lou and Wah having friction. But we have a question from John at Isles JD. And he says, how do you guys see the perceived power struggle between coach and general manager playing out, both in the short term and in the long term? What impacts do you think this will have on the organization?
I think that Wah is actually going to just start doing whatever the fuck he wants, because he's going to be like, whatever, fuck it. Like, this guy's had three head coaches. He's been here a long time. Like, clearly, I have the edge if there's a problem here, because they're going to be looking to go in a new direction. So I expect going forward that he's just going to do what he wants to do, because if they're disagreeing, I mean, these are two alpha males, and Wah's the one at the end of the day that has that card to set that lineup. So I think in the short term and long term, Wah wins.
I think it's going to be kind of status quo early. I think they're going to try to be professional about it, have a conversation behind the scenes, and for hopefully at least the rest of the season, kind of be on the down low. They'll handle things between themselves, have a gentleman's agreement, little handshake, hey, let's not throw each other under the bus, and then everything will be reevaluated towards the end, because I think right now is not a good time to have this whole...
I think you're giving both these guys a lot of credit that I don't know that they
maybe
deserve.
Not. I'm just thinking from I think maybe ownership, like we said, they're businessmen first. I think they might approach both guys and say, calm the fuck down,
maybe.
Relax. If we're going to talk, let's talk behind the scenes. Don't say, you know, Varley didn't look good. Don't say, oh, that's Lou's decision. Just give lip service, and the other stuff could be discussed behind the scenes. That's just my guess.
I err on the side of Jack, where I think Wah, you know, he can't stop Lou from making certain transactions, but he can control who gets the ice time. And we saw that, you know, Martin didn't get a lot of ice time. Engvall didn't get too much ice time. So I think we'll know pretty early on what Wah's attitude is going to be.
All right. Well, keeping on this topic, we have another question that it's a multiple choice question. So I know that we all will like that. Assuming that there is turmoil and this
call
question,
me stupid.
I'm not calling you stupid at all. But this question is from Tyler at Bards Down. And Clever. He says that assuming that there's turmoil between Lou and Patrick Wah, if there were changes that were to happen, what would you prefer? And again, it's multiple choice. So A, Lou gets fired and Wah takes over as GM. B, Wah gets fired and Lou stays. Or C, both of them get canned and we start from scratch.
A.
So you would be Lou gets fired, Wah takes over as GM, yeah. And then we go from there.
I think that might be what happens. And then he gives his boy Benoit the spot behind the bench.
For what it's worth, I actually love all the moves Patrick Wah has his fingerprints on from the start, even last year when, you know, Sorokin was cold and he was starting Varlamov, throwing Engvall in the minors for not giving a shit, playing Oliver Wahlstrom as a 24-year-old player, just seeing what we can get, what he has. I love the way he runs the team, so I think I would pick him to be the GM.
Yeah, I'd probably pick A.
So what letter, Jack? Because I want to see if you remember which letters.
It's got to be A.
All right.
Got to be
A. You don't even know what the choices were. You're just saying A.
usually guess. I used to usually guess C.
That was the the old trick.
Didn't work too well for me.
No. When in doubt, guess C.
Now, a lot of the other questions that we got are all about the same thing because we're all concerned about this turmoil. But if I had to sum up all the different questions that we got, what I want to know from the three of you is if there's a power struggle between Wah and Lou, at the end of the day, who ends up winning?
So not who we want, who we think.
Not who we want, exactly. Because a lot of the questions are like, what do we think is going to happen between the two of them? And so I just want to know, Wah or Lou, who's winning at the end of the day?
Our head, not our hearts, boys.
I don't know who's winning. You know who's losing?
Us.
The fans.
This isn't even a question. It's definitely Wah. The attendance is struggling. That's money out of the owner's pocket. How is he supposed to sell them on it's another coach's fault.
Wait, you're saying that it's Wah's fault. Who's gonna end up winning?
Oh no, I'm saying the opposite.
Wah's gonna end up winning.
Yeah,
Wah's gonna win, and this is all Lou's fault. And I think ownership will see it like that. The second these owners start losing money, man, like I'm telling you, things change quick, and that's how I think it's gonna happen. These are smart people; they make calculated decisions, and you could only give Lou so many chances. We've accomplished nothing
since we sat down at our seats last night. Reminded me of when my dad would take me to a President's Day matinee at the Coliseum. It was pathetic.
Yeah, and it's the common denominator. Lou's the common denominator, right?
Sure.
Wait, so I just want to say, because I was at the game on Tuesday against Detroit, and I was with low attendance game, the lowest attendance game ever, and I was with my dear mother, who is definitely listening to this, and
in her Beauvillier jersey,
cheering on. Well, you know what? She can whatever. I'll deal with her separately. Okay. But she was cheering on for Oliver Wahlstrom and the spirit of Anthony Beauvillier. And she asked me as soon as we walked into the arena, she said, "Where is everybody? Why is there nobody here?" And I said, "Well, maybe it's a late arriving crowd. I have no idea." And then we sat and we watched the entire game.
Maybe the Islanders got stuck at Belmont Village.
Yeah, potentially they would be blessed if they did. But we watched the entire game. The Islanders lost, giving up a goal on the first shot that they faced the entire night, and lost 1-0 to the Detroit Red Wings. And we walked out of the arena, and I basically said, I don't know why we're Islander fans at this point, because we see the same crap over and over again. And if you've lost my mother, then you've lost the majority of Islander fans. And I know that we all feel the same way here, but something has to change. I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, my wife is something has to change. My wife is the optimist of the couple, obviously. And I mean, even she was like,
"Really?"
Yeah, even she was like, "Well, whoa, woof." So
at least she has Matt Martin back.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only reason she was thrilled to go to the game.
Hey, but you know what? My mom thought the Heineken Lounge was gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
So
the
really,
terrace is the best.
So really, we're all winners here.
The terrace was fucking freezing on yesterday night. Is it usually that cold? I know
it is. I was actually asking, are they going to put heaters in for the winter? Because it's all half it's outside. I don't know if they do.
They do. I think
they have to. They should.
Yeah, I feel like my season tickets last year were right 305. So you leave your section and it's literally right there. So we would go there every intermission and. I'm pretty sure they did because I don't remember ever being freezing. I don't remember ever being freezing. So it's probably just early in the season. And I mean, we have had days where it's like 70 degrees. So they're probably just waiting till it gets to November, December.
I hope so. And listen, when the best part of the game is going to the Heineken Terrace in between periods, that should basically sum up the state of the franchise.
I mean, I do love the Heineken Terrace, though.
They got rid of Mogu, too. Like,
that was. I mean, what are we doing?
You're making it real tough for me.
And we still don't have my pizza there, which is another issue.
Another issue.
So anything else?
Well, all the other questions, I do want to shout out Ryan Maroney at Obi-Wan Maroney, who just simply said what the absolute fuck. He didn't have a question. He just wanted to share his frustration.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Ryan's an OG.
That's the mood right now. Isle's mood right now.
Exactly. And Ryan, I know you're listening. I don't know what the absolute fuck. I don't know. I wish I did. But all the other questions are basically all the other questions are essentially who's going to win Wah against Lou.
Figured that this week, yeah.
I don't really know. So I'll let Ethan, Rocco, one of you guys. What's next? I mean, we're playing Anaheim and Columbus this week. What's next?
Take a deep breath. See what happens Tuesday, Wednesday.
Too early.
Let's just see what happens.
Not too early to worry, but too early to fully decide on these moves.
Right.
So I think worry is justifiable because it's been so long, but you can't make the moves yet.
I agree with you. I always tell my friends, like, you can't look at the standings until Thanksgiving if you want to talk about, like, playoffs or not. And I found myself looking at the standings multiple times, even though we're 4 weeks away from Thanksgiving. Like, are you guys concerned about the rest of the year? I know we've discussed this on previous shows and on this show, but, like, are you guys concerned how the remaining portion of the season is going to turn out?
No, because I've resigned myself to the fact that this team is just not good enough. So I'm just here for the ride. And if they make the playoffs, great. If not,
I don't know.
Whatever.
All I know is I'm done.
I'm very apathetic about this team. Like, I really am. They haven't given me a reason to be, like, happy or excited.
And it doesn't help that, you know, we have other sports going on as well. So
Those sports haven't given me a reason to be happy or excited.
No, yeah, it hasn't. But at least you could watch, like, you know, that when the Islanders aren't playing well, even though I'm not a fan.
Yeah,
when the World Series.
Not, yeah,
when the baseball
Islanders
season's
playing,
over,
we could watch the 2-6 Giants or the 2-6 Jets.
Yeah, there's no baseball going on. Yeah. So
Jack, what are you feeling with Greeny's question?
Yeah, for me, I really don't know, but I know one thing, and I'm done taking any stock out of when they have a lead in a game. Like, I don't believe they're going to win until the final buzzer sounds anymore.
100%.
Because it's just made me look so stupid too many times.
And that's to Dan's point. That's where he was spot on. You don't know what it is with the blown leads, but there's something there.
And you guys might have talked about this before I hopped on here. And if you did, I'll cut this out. But when it comes to the blown leads, do you think that's more of a coaching issue or do you think that's more of a player's issue?
Personnel.
Roster.
It's two coaches now.
I mean, I agree. I think it's the players, but people are going to try and make excuses for a lot of the guys that they like.
Of course.
I think
you still talk about Beauvillier.
There's people that despite this guy taking Lane Lambert's mess and dragging them to the playoffs last year are already, they're ready to criticize and blame Wah.
And it's one of those things. You develop bad habits. It's very hard to break them. So you can't still be blaming Lane, but, you know, some of these guys may have gone by the wayside with this organization because of that. But quickly, I just want to touch on what Greeny asked before with how do you feel of the state of the team going forward? My biggest worry is just continuing to be in the middle. Like, we kind of have to start leaning to one side because, as our favorite troll Mark Warden on Twitter loves to say, the mushy middle. And you know what? It sucks, but he's right. We're kind of in the mushy middle where we're not good enough to win and we're not good enough to win a lottery either. So something's got to give, and you hope they at least, when the time comes, make a decision and don't stay in the middle.
Agreed. Yeah. All right, we'll wrap it up now. I don't really have much else to say, but thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you on Thursday after the back-to-back, and I just hope it gets better.
Please do.
Let's hope. Thanks, everyone.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around. Ayo's house. In the middle of our street. Ayo's house.